1967, Power for Abundant Living, when the ministry was really, really small. You know, when he inquired to the people that were in the ministry at the time about this, they all thought he was crazy, you know. How many hours is it?
33 hours,
you know, of teaching on 16 millimeter film and renting a studio and all that when the ministry was really small and didn't have the money to do it. And a lot happened in about a year. About a year later, he made his first trip to San Francisco, where all the hippies were, and heard of this place called the Book of Acts. I mean, not the Book of Acts. He'd heard of that. The House of Acts, and it was a bunch of hippies that really were interested in the Word. And so here this farmer from Ohio shows up in San Francisco in 1968 with all these long-haired hippies that smoked pot before and after every fellowship. And boy, he saw a real hunger there. One of these days, again, I'm going to get Howie Uramian to share about that time, because that's when he got in the Word, right around that time. And he knows the history of it really well and how the Word of God moved as a result of that. Just in an incredible, monumental Book of Acts-type fashion. And that's when I got in the Word out there, George did, and I don't know, anybody else from California? No.
Steve.
Oh, Steve, yeah, he got in the Word before I did. And it was a result of all that. It just was fantastic. And you know, to think that, okay, you got a 33-hour class, and the first thing that is on there, basically, is how important that is to really understand fear and the negative aspects of it, and to understand believing and how there's, you can't lose by believing God, and you can't win by being afraid. And yeah, that's something. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Moses died. And Joshua was given the responsibility of overseeing the children of Israel, which was a huge responsibility. And any of you that know anything about the children of Israel, they were very cooperative. They weren't cooperative at all, and they didn't like to listen. They didn't like to obey. They didn't like to follow. They didn't like to do the things that we covered earlier. So here's Joshua, and we're going to just read a few verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now this Joshua had a lot of time with Moses to observe him, to watch him, to listen to him, to follow him, to obey what Moses said. There's a lot of records that show Moses and Joshua together. Joshua came back with Caleb with a really good report about the promised land where everybody else didn't. So he had a lot of experience, a lot of face time with his overseer, Moses. And you know, if a leader's a good leader, he's somebody who spends time with people. He's not living, you know, behind closed doors because he wants you to send your money in or something, but he's with you. He's with you. He's a human being. And Joshua had a lot of time with him, and yet God still talked to Joshua, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So God is telling him some great things. God is telling Joshua great things. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Look at this instruction. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Says it again, you know. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee at school. Observe to do. It says in Ezra 7:10, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes. That's the proper way to do it. To be a good teacher, really good. I mentioned, I think today, you have to be someone who has applied what they've learned. Somebody who's done the word. Someone who knows the word and they have done what the word of God says. Then they become really effective. Here it's used observe to do. You observe it so you can do it. Then you can really teach it. That's just something else anyway. Yeah. Observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. How about that? By not compromising on God's word, he promises Joshua that he's going to prosper wherever he goes. Now, it says in Malachi, I think, 3:6, I am the Lord, I change what? God doesn't change. I know administrations change, I get that. But I don't know that the truth of this reality changes in the grace administration. We should not compromise on God's word if we expect things that God's word promises. So many have made a commitment to compromise instead of a commitment to stand on God's word, come hell, high water, no water. No matter what happens, you stand on God's word, you confess the word. Great book out there called Synchronized Life, which one of the statements in the book, Confession of Belief Yields Receipt of Confession. You know, what do we talk about? What do we think about? Oh, he talked a lot about in that last, what we just heard, how fear is believing in reverse. It's unbelief. It defeats the promises of God. There's no profit to it. But on the other hand, confidence, trust, and faith issues in right believing, and right believing issues in wonderful results for us. So if we confess the things that God's word says, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So is he. I always screw that up. But you know what it says there in Proverbs. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if our heart is filled with the word of God, then that's what we will think, that's what we will speak, and that's what we will believe. Simple, really. And we have a choice every second of every day. I love it when people say, when I say, what are you thinking about? They go, I don't know. Man, if you don't really know, if you really don't know, that's dangerous. You should know what you're thinking about. I should know what I'm thinking about. Even if it's negative, I should know what I'm thinking about. For goodness gracious, Minnie. Goodness gracious, Minnie. There's a good one. But don't turn from the right or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. Meditate, stay your mind, think about it. Let it brew, let it work, let it brew. Everybody's different as far as how they put teachings together or what they do. I think a lot before I ever even write anything down. Sometimes weeks ahead of time, I pray and I think and I pray and I think. And then after a while of doing that, you're ready to go. And then it's just boom. For me, that's how I do it. Day and night, and why, that thou mayest observe to do. Again, observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Well, he's basically said the same thing twice in a little different way, but he's saying the same thing. Observe and do God's word so that you can have a prosperous, great life. Have not I commanded you, be strong and of a good courage? That's the third time he said that. Third time, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Why in the name of Jesse James do you think that God would say this? Because Joshua needed to know this. And God knows that people get tempted to be afraid. You ever read Psalms, or have you ever read some of the things that David went through? He was afraid sometimes, but he didn't stay afraid. He dealt with his fear by believing what God said. It's not that we never get shook. You know, there's different types of fear. Those real creepy ones where boom, and then you're just frightened. Or the fear of man, you know. What are they going to think? Be thou strong and of good courage. Be very courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed. God's got you, Joshua. God's got you. In Romans 8:31, it says, if God be for us, who can be against you? Later it says, in all these things, you're more than conquerors. There's 17 things. Let's go there just for the fun of it. Romans 8, there's 17 different things here, if I remember correctly. In verse 35 in Romans 8, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? That is, as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded. Persuaded means you got your feet in 10 inches of cement. You're not moving. You are standing. You are not moving. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what has happened in your life or in my life, no matter how bad it might be or was, no matter what we did to hurt someone, no matter what it was that we did that we shouldn't have done, no matter the quandary that we may be involved in, no matter what, God will love you. And if you never forget that about how God feels about you with that, you will be able to help people the rest of your life, because people will screw you over just like you've screwed people over. But if you are assured that God loves you, man, that gets rid of the guilt, the condemnation, the fear, the poison that surrounds our body when we contemplate and think about or let the devil bring up all those negative things. Or I wished I could have, or if I only would have. You know, I should be this, I should be that. Well, you know what you are? You're a son of God with all power. You have the righteousness of God. You have been redeemed. I have been redeemed. We are sanctified. We are justified. We have been given his spirit. We've been freely given the manifestations of the spirit. Man, you know, where do you want to go? We're going to the gathering. What's the devil going to do then? He can't get away with it. It's going to happen. Don't let yourself condemn yourself. Because when you do that enough, you'll condemn others. Let yourself accept God's love. When you do that enough, you'll love others. And boy, don't we need it. Don't we need encouragement? Because this world is negative. This world, I mean, it's no different than it was back then. You know, they were behind closed door for fear of the Jews. The parents didn't want to admit this, you know, killing of their son because they were going to be ostracized from society. We're surrounded with the same kind of fear all the time, all the time. Ignorance and wrong teaching, that's what causes fear or unbelief. You know, ignorance and wrong teaching. It's corrected by right teaching. It's corrected by instruction. You have been privileged to have many great examples of believers. So have I. Just being with you is an amazing thing to watch the body of Christ work together, to see people like you stand on God's word. And I've known many of you for a long enough time to have watched you overcome things in your lives. And God's not done yet. And it's an honor to watch. I mean, that's the pay I get. The pay I get really is watching people grow in a knowledge. It's watching people get benefited by the word of God by believing. There's nothing quite like that. You know, as a parent, you know, you're proud of your children, you know, when they accomplish things. You're proud of your kids, man. You're proud of them. You just get so blessed when they're blessed. You get so happy when they're happy. You feel kind of crummy when they feel crummy. What shouldn't be much different for the body. You know, it says when one sorrow, when one rejoice, we all rejoice. Well, let's start talking about the good things that God's done a little more and tell everybody about it so I can hear about it, so I can go, yahoo, because there's plenty of junk. I get tired of hearing the junk all the time. It's sad. I like hearing how you're doing good, because you are doing good. Pam Frank, who just reproved me, every day God does something for her. You know why? She expects it. She thinks about it. She prays about it. She recognizes it when it happens, no matter if it's a small thing. God got me a Twinkie today, and I was thinking about Twinkies yesterday. Isn't God great? Well, yeah, he is. And that's a damn good way to think. That's a darn good way to live. Other than, oh, crap, my life sucks. So does everybody else. They suck. You know, and so what's the profit? I'm persuaded neither death nor life nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things whenever, past. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing ever, never, ever. You know, we read these truths in Joshua, how I'll never leave him or forsake him or whatever he said. He didn't say that. Be strong and of a good courage. Well, what do you think that is? Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his what? Don't compromise. Stand on God's word. It's actually a lot of fun. It really is. Ephesians 6, let's go there. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand in the wild against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness or wicked spirits in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. And that includes all our sonship rights, believing who we are, what God has given us so freely. It includes the manifestations. It includes all of it. Take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith or believing wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Something, man. It's God's word, whether it's in Joshua, whether it's in the Gospels, whether it's in the book of Acts, it's God's word that tells us who we are. That's, you know, people talk about an identity crisis. People have an identity crisis. Well, I believe believers have an identity crisis at times. They forget who they are. You know, I'll tell you, I'd like to be getting paid what all these therapists get paid for. Man, oh man, I'd like to make the money they make. You know, and I'm not against therapists. They probably help people at certain times, but dang it, you've got God's word. That's the greatest counsel there could ever be. You know, not everything can be taken care of by a pill. Certainly not everything can be taken care of by blaming other people. You know, blame your mom, blame your parents, do a primal scream, you'll feel better. You know, we laugh, but that's some of the things that are taught in these therapists. And you know, I don't see that in God's word where I blame somebody else for my action. Otherwise, that's all you'll do. I'm mad because my neighbor's a jerk. Really? You're mad because you're a jerk. And you decided to be mad. You let that person get to you. My husband didn't, you know, say happy birthday. Well, so what? Live with it. Maybe he actually forgot. Maybe he didn't mean anything by it. Get over it. You know, my wife didn't cook tonight. Well, do what I do. Go out and eat. What am I going to do? I'm sure not going to kill myself by cooking. I love myself too much, way too much. So, you know, we just so oftentimes blame our unbelief on others. Galatians talks about who doth hinder you, never really answered. All he says is this persuasion didn't come from God, basically, you know. So many times while we're pointing fingers, we got 17,000 fingers pointing right at us. Or we blame the devil. Okay, great. Yes, he's responsible for everything that's bad. I agree. No problem there. But am I going to allow him to dictate how I think? Am I going to allow, because it says greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Am I going to allow that? Well, I can if I want to, but I don't have to. Go sit in a chair and psych yourself up with the word. Believe the word. Quit blaming people. Quit getting mad at everybody all the time. Good God. How does that help you? How does it help me? I've watched it tear apart believers. Good Lord. I was sharing at fellowship the other day, Thursday, how? And this isn't the only occasion. Evidently, I say things at times that upset people. I don't know if you ever knew that. And I said something, you know, at one time that upset this fella. And I didn't know I said something that upset him. And he didn't come to a fellowship for 10 years. And I went to this fellowship and he showed up first time in 10 years. Wow. And I was so blessed to see him because I never knew really what the deal was. I didn't know what was why and didn't answer my phone calls or anything. And after fellowship, I just said, man, it's so good to see you. What happened? Not in a critical way. I just was curious. And he said, you said such and such 10 years ago. And I said, I'm really sorry. I said, but you could have said that 10 years ago and we could have straightened it out. We just so quickly want to blame others for our stupidity. I want to take responsibility for my brain. I want to take responsibility for the things that I believe. And if I'm having a difficult time, I swallow any ego that I have and I get help, and I do. I'll ask Joe, I'll ask Steve, I'll ask Bob, Michael, Diane, certainly, you know, because I want help when I'm weak. I don't want to stay weak or blame somebody. I want to take care of it quickly so I don't get in this rut. And Joyce used to say, God, what a great statement. The only difference between a rut and a grave is the depth. You know, you want to put yourself in a rut? I don't want to put myself in a rut, nor do I want to put you in a category like Jamie's a certain way or Christy's a certain way. Unless the certain way that I say, like when I think of Jamie, I think of somebody who moves God's word, who speaks God's word, who gets people in the word, who gets people born again, who leads people in speaking. That's what I think of Jamie. You see? When I think of Christy, I think of what a friggin' big heart she has. And it's not hard. Does she have weakness? Yeah. Does Jamie? Do I? Yeah. We could go our whole lives looking at our own weaknesses or looking at the weaknesses of others and play the blame game. Cut it out. I want to move God's word. I want to speak the word. I want to see people healed, delivered, like the book of Acts, like the lame man. He got healed. This isn't Grimm's fairy tale. Nothing grim about it. It's God's word. And Joshua was encouraged by God, wasn't he? He was encouraged by God. And you know, sometimes you read the Old Testament and goes, man, you know, I wish that could be me. Well, we just read a bunch of stuff in Romans and Ephesians that is to you from our Father. Today in the manifestations, the first thing God said is, what was it, Diana, had to do with healing? What do you say?
That he heals. He's the God that heals.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first thing out of God's mouth. So I'm sitting here going, okay, I'm healed. The little things that are bothering me, he's got it. And I'm thinking, God's not stupid. He didn't say heal you if there isn't healing that needs to happen. We got to take that stuff serious, man. How many times did he say he loved us today at manifestation? 5,000? Why? Because, not because God's retarded. No, it might be because we are. We don't, you know, I'm serious. He says the same things over and over again because he forgot or he's trying to remind himself. Man, he wants us to accept those words as words from him that will build us up and exhort us, which means encourage to a more worthy endeavor, indicating our endeavor isn't as worthy as it ought to be. Like you'd say to your kid, and evidently the word works because I was teaching on believing today, and Daisy overcame fear and took her first step. She stood up during the teaching. Pretty cool. I'm stretching it, but nice. You know, and we need to accept God's love. It's obvious. And see, things like that, you listen for. When you oversee people, you should really listen for, because God will let you know exactly what's going on and what people need if we listen. Whether it's the written word or whether it's the spoken word, and certainly, tongues with interpretation and prophecy are manifestations of the Spirit that are given by God freely to build us up, to encourage us, and to settle us down. And I saw that happen. It did all those things for us today. But it's good to remember. You know, it's good to remember. The more we remember the Word of God, the greater our life will be. The more we remember it, the more we'll believe it, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And it doesn't mean you have to hear a teaching. You can hear yourself tell yourself the word. And today was a great day. Is a great day.